Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The cause of a fire that destroyed a house in the Two Rivers Pleasant Valley area Monday remains under investigation and as of yesterday had not been officially classified as arson. State Trooper Information Officer Austin McDaniel says the Department of Public Safety is currently investigating five other structure fires as arson in the rural community along Chena Hot Springs Road east of Fairbanks. They include two Pleasant Valley Community Association building fires on May 16th and June 19th, and three residential fires on July 2nd, 3rd, and 10th. Alaska continues to see a resurgence of COVID-19 cases in some areas of the state, even as vaccination rates rise. The Department of Health and Social Services announced yesterday that 235 new virus cases were logged Monday and Tuesday. Among the new cases were 115 in Anchorage and 29 in Sitka. In the interior, Fairbanks and Tok each had two new cases. There were also 12 new non-resident cases statewide Monday and Tuesday. The DHSS reported 15 new COVID-19 hospitalizations over the 2 days, with a total of 50 diagnosed and two suspected virus patients in Alaska hospitals. As of Tuesday night, three patients were on ventilators. 51% of Alaskans 12 and older have been fully vaccinated. The state continues to see COVID variants, including the Delta strain. The DHSS says several of those cases have been among vaccinated individuals. Meanwhile, across the border in Canada, the Yukon Territory is seeing COVID-19 cases level off after experiencing its first surge of the pandemic, with more than 400 confirmed cases over the last 5 weeks. Speaking during a press conference yesterday, Yukon Premier Sandy Silver said the territory is now seeing a slow but steady decline in cases.
More than 300 individuals have recovered over the last 6 weeks. This includes the young children that tested positive a few weeks ago. I'm very happy to say that the situation with our youngest Yukoners has stabilized.
Silver said that 77% of Yukon residents aged 12 and above are now fully vaccinated, but cautioned that the situation remains serious and that another Yukoner died from the virus this week.
This is the fourth death from COVID-19 since the start of June, and sadly, the individual was unvaccinated. This is a stark and tragic reminder of the importance of getting vaccinated. There's no denying that vaccines save lives.
Silver thanked federal and provincial partners for their assistance during the surge and announced the easing of some COVID restrictions. He further indicated that if the downward case trend continues, the Yukon government will lift a state of emergency next month. The Matanuska-Susitna Borough had more deaths last year than would be expected in a normal year. That's true for many communities in the United States because of the pandemic. But as Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, the Matsu Borough stands out from the rest of the country in one way.
A recently published analysis looked at how many deaths in each county, or in the case of Alaska Borough, were recorded as being caused by COVID-19 last year. And the authors then compared that number to another statistic, the deaths that each county had last year above what's expected in a normal year. They're known as excess deaths. They want to know if the official number of pandemic deaths is accurate. The authors found that the Matsu Borough had the lowest number in the country in how many recorded COVID deaths there were compared with the excess deaths. That's a problem for public health experts who are trying to understand how many people truly died from the disease. The authors didn't reach any conclusions on why there's a big gap in individual counties. But the authors said one cause could be that COVID-19 isn't being recorded as the cause of death on death certificates for people who died from the disease. The analysis was published in the journal PLOS Medicine in May. The authors examined every county in the country that recorded at least 50 COVID-19 deaths in 2020. They wrote that there are several potential causes. They include lower rates of COVID-19 testing in some counties, reduced access to healthcare, regional differences in diagnoses, and political attitudes. The authors also wrote that some deaths, like drug overdoses, may be indirectly related to the pandemic. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
two teens face charges for break-ins and thefts at a Fairbanks shopping mall. A city release says 18-year-old Everett Aloysius and 19-year-old Landon Zareth Paul were caught on security camera breaking a glass door and entering a FedEx store in the Eagle Plaza Mall after 3 a.m. Tuesday. Two other businesses, the Comic Shop and the Alaska Buffet Restaurant, were also burglarized. Police report responding to security alarms triggered at the mall and finding Aloysius and Paul sitting on a sidewalk with stolen merchandise and over $1,700 in cash. Police say Paul resisted arrest and during a lengthy struggle kicked an officer in the head before being subdued with leg restraints. They say a contractor's forklift parked nearby was later reported vandalized, and the two suspects' shoe prints were found around the machine. Both teens were booked on burglary, theft, and criminal mischief charges. Paul was additionally charged with resisting arrest and assault. The 60th World Eskimo Indian Olympics start next week. The games were canceled last year due to the pandemic, and special COVID-19 safety precautions will be in place for this year's event at the Big Dipper Arena in Fairbanks. As KUEC's Robin reports, many competitions will be contested outdoors.
The first World Eskimo Indian Olympics were in 1961 on the banks of the Chena River in Fairbanks. The traditional games and dances were held every year until 2020. This year, the celebration will keep COVID in mind, as coordinators ask attendees to be vaccinated or wear masks.
Our people have a long and sordid history with epidemics, so it's not anything we really want to play with. We want to do as much as we can, but we still are going to have some considerations.
That's Gina Kalik, who is Koyakon Dina and chair of the WIO Board of Directors. The 9-member board is organizing the games as volunteers because they raised no money last year to hire a staff person for the big event. This 60th anniversary festival is likely to require 30 to 40 volunteers. Kalik says instead of having a Contributor of the Year award, they'll have a special acknowledgement of that volunteering tradition.
This year, we're having a special gift made, it's a commemorative pin, and we're going to track down as many of the organizers and board members that are still with us that we can find, and they're all going to be the Contributor of the Year.
The games are derived from hunting and whaling, and many are designed to build up brute strength or test endurance to survive in rural Alaska. Events like the knuckle hop and the ear pull challenge the ability to withstand pain, and contests like the Alaskan high kick and the toe kick hinge on balance and agility. In some years, dancers and athletes have come from Greenland, Siberia, Canada, and Hawaii to share their traditional games. Kalik says for most events this year, athletes and judges can stand apart, but coordinators are asking athletes who will be right next to each other to be fully vaccinated before the event begins next Wednesday, July 21st. That includes the Indian stick pull, Eskimo stick pull, greased pole walk, four-man carry, ear pull, and arm pull.
So for those games, we are requiring vaccination.
Those athletes or volunteers will be given special wristbands that allow them more access around the venue. Kalik says she knows they will be asked to make exceptions.
It's already happened, and we've said maybe next year.
With athletes, dancers, and arts and crafts vendors coming from all over Alaska and the Arctic, the games become like a four-day family reunion. But some of that festive atmosphere will still be muted.
Something that's very popular is when the dance teams have the invitational dances. We're going to have to ask people to dance in place and not come down to the floor.
All daytime events, except for the high kick, will be outdoors on the field behind the Big Dipper building, and all those events will be free. A special guest, Molly of Denali, will be at the event from 6 to 8 p.m. during the opening ceremonies next Wednesday. A schedule of events and registration information are on the World Eskimo Indian Olympics website, WEIO.com. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.